Life Audio.
Just ahead on Encouragement for You, Dr. Steve Cowan and Craig Branch on Defending Our Faith, and Dr. Walt Larimore with an open line on health issues.
Welcome to the Encouragement for You podcast, brought to you by Encouragement Communications in association with the Salem Web Network and is part of the Life Audio Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com. In just a moment, your host, Don Hawkins, will introduce today's episode. First, a word from our sponsors. The Christian faith is under attack today like never before. And as Christians, we need to know how to defend our faith. Dr. Steve Callen taught apologetics for many years at Southeastern Bible College, and he and Craig Branch join host Don Hawkins to discuss this important topic.
Do Christians really need to defend their faith, Craig? I'm sure that's a question that you hear from time to time.
Well, sure. The Scripture is explicitly teaches that. The apologetics is in the New Testament 9 times. The classic passage, 1 Peter 3:15, set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to give an apologia, a reasoned defense, or make a case for your faith, yet with gentleness and with reverence. Jude 3 and 4, defend the faith that's been once and for all delivered to the saints, for certain people creep in unnoticed and will distort the faith, etc., etc. So there's certainly biblical warrant and certainly practical warrant as well, and that's apologetics is for the unbeliever, but it's maybe don't realize it's also for the believer, because believers have questions and doubts that they oftentimes suppress because it's just not cool to be a Christian with questions. So, we need answers too.
Yeah, we're living in a day and time in which there are a lot of questions that arise. Steve, what would you say is the greatest danger to the Christian faith today in this area we're talking about?
Oh boy, I don't know if there's just one, but.
Well, you can broaden that out to two or three if you feel led.
Sure, Craig will jump in on this, but if I had to single one thing out, it's the anti-intellectualism that we see in the church today, the lack of desire to think about things, to ask the kind of questions that we're asking. In our postmodern culture, as it's often called, the pursuit of truth and the defense of the faith take a back burner at the very least. Sometimes they're totally ignored.
Truth is sort of what you perceive it to be or
That's
what your experience is.
And so even in the church, there is a lack of interest in matters of the mind. And I believe that's been our greatest weakness for almost 100 years, and it's not a whole lot better today.
Terry is listening in Dallas. Hello, Terry.
Hi.
Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
I have a question about nihilism. I need it to be explained to me what it is, because my son, who grew up in the church, now that he is an adult, he claims to be a nihilist, and I need to know how to bring him back to the faith.
Yeah, and first we'll nail down the pronunciation of that. I think it's nihilist is the way most people pronounce that. It is spelled N-I-H-I-L-I-S-T. All right, let's start with Craig on that one.
I'm going to pass it on to my philosophy professor here.
We have a philosopher in the building. It's always good to go to that source.
All right. I knew I was stepping into a lion's den here. Nihilism is a philosophy that the word nihil is a Latin word that means nothing. So nihilism is nothingism. The idea behind nihilism is that life is meaningless, that we're here for no purpose. We come into the world for no reason, and we don't have any significance while we're here. It's basically the idea that life is meaningless. It's a big waste of time. This philosophy goes back at least as far as Friedrich Nietzsche. He was considered a nihilist, and we see aspects of this philosophy coming down to us in the existentialism of the 1930s and 40s. And even into postmodernism today.
It leads to a feeling of despair, and whether you have the chicken or the egg, the despair leads to the adoption of nihilism, or nihilism leads to despair. And as I recall, Nietzsche was the original person who came up with the idea that God is dead.
That's right.
Craig, any thoughts you want to add to that?
Well, I think that I bring a little bit of my presuppositional apologetics in here, that man is finite in our ability to understand all that there is. And also, man is limited in his acquisition of all the information in order to make those kinds of decisions. We, as a Christian, we're and therefore, I would say that the unbeliever is ultimately totally uncertain of things. He may feel that he has a plausible explanation to things, but ultimately, starting from his own reference point, he's uncertain. Mm. As a Christian, we believe that God has revealed truth, and He's able to, all powerful and all knowing. He's able to reveal Himself to us in ways we can understand. So, the nihilist position is ultimately, I think, of course, irrational on that point.
One of the things that Steve, you had another thought you want to share?
Just very quickly. When I talk about atheism in my classes, I say there are two kinds of atheists. There are the dishonest atheist and the honest atheist. Mm. The dishonest atheist is the one like Richard Dawkins, who doesn't believe in God but thinks that life is perfectly meaningful and there's morality and all those kind of things, despite the fact that there's no God to provide a foundation for morality and meaning. Mm-hmm. But then there's
you could also call that irrational atheism.
It's exactly right. And then there's the honest atheist who understands that if there is no God, then everything's permitted and life is ultimately meaningless. And so your nihilist friend is at least being honest. He's reached the point of despair that follows from a rejection of God. The only way to find meaning and significance in life is on the basis of belief in a transcendent and personal God.
Terry, I believe you said this is your son. Is that correct?
Yes, I did.
Okay. We want to pray for him, and we're going to pray that God will give you wisdom as you share Jesus Christ with him and as you live out your faith before him.
Thank you.
Lord, we're grateful that you care about Terry and about what she's going through, and particularly as she interacts with her son. Lord, we're saddened that he has adopted a position of nihilism, and we pray that the reality and peace and joy that is available through Jesus Christ would come through to him, that his heart and his mind would be opened to the power of the gospel, and that his life would be transformed. Lord, I think about my own aunt, who was such a militant atheist who came to faith in Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that the same power of the gospel that broke through in Dorothy's life would break through in the life of Terry's son. Encourage and strengthen her in this quest, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless every one of you.
You as well. God bless. Bye-bye. We have a lot of discussion these days, and particularly with issues even like the election, on the whole issue of postmodernism, living in a postmodern world, and people talking about so-and-so as a postmodern candidate. Dr. Steve Cowan, give us sort of a Reader's Digest version of insight into postmodernism and why it's important.
Well, postmodernism is a philosophy that permeates our culture at many levels in different areas of our culture, in education, law, family life, every area of our culture. But essentially, postmodernism is a philosophy that says that there's no such thing as objective truth. It's a form of relativism, that we're all of us are conditioned by our time and culture to believe what we believe and do what we do, and one system of belief and one way of life is no more or less better than another. That's, in a nutshell, what postmodernism is all about.
And it does have an effect on politics. It has an effect on issues of religion or faith. Mm. What other areas, Craig, would you say that it touches on today that we need to be aware of?
Well, again, it's you mentioned ethics and politics, because have you heard the expression, you can't legislate morality?
Oh, yes. And that's really a postmodern statement, isn't it?
Yeah, because, I mean, that's the silliest statement.
That's what the law's been all about ever since Moses came down from Mount Sinai. Maybe
any law that's passed is a system of ethics and somebody's system of right and wrong. And
somebody's legislating morality.
So for instance, one of the issues is same-sex marriage and maybe even polygamy. People would be shocked to hear me say that. But in Canada, it's already allowed in certain parts of Canada. Mm. And once you attack what the definition of marriage is, where's the root or the definition, we say, well, it's the Bible. Well, you can't do that here because of separation of church and state. So what is it? So if you have a relativistic postmodern mindset, there are no real boundaries on that.
And if you take that to its logical conclusion, you can have have wives that are 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. You can you get into validating sexual abuse of a child and all kinds of doors that open that that we need to be aware of these days. And a lot of phone calls coming in. We'll go back to the phones. Jason is listening in Kansas City.
Hi, good evening. How are you?
Fine. Thanks for calling us.
Yes, I have a quick question. I don't know. There's a thing called the Unity Church, and I have a very close friend of mine. She's going to this church, and she's looking for a stable faith. And as a born again Christian, Unity Church is not very healthy for her. So, two quick things: can you tell me what Unity Church is about? And the second thing is, how do I talk to somebody who is leaning towards that kind of church?
All right, Craig, you are the apologist in the area of religious, variant religion, shall we say, cults, that type thing. And we want to be careful in branding different groups by name, but I want you to address, obviously, there's an issue there when you say unity as opposed to Trinity. There is a theological issue.
Well, right. Unity is one of the churches within the whole spectrum of something called mind science churches. You've got Christian Science, Unity School of Christianity, Church of Religious Science. They're all basically teaching the same thing. It's a pantheistic New Age worldview. But the Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, the founders of the Unity School of Christianity, and they, which is an offshoot of Christian Science, and basically they teach that God is really an impersonal force, that everything is God and you are God. You just don't realize it yet, but through the teachings of their church and following the teachings and practices, which might include also meditation, transcendental meditation type of exercises, you will realize, you know, it's a self-realization with a capital S, capital R, that you are infinite and you are God and that you are all powerful. You have control over sickness. It doesn't really exist because it's a matter of the mind. So this is a New Age occultic religious expression, and we encourage the caller to contact our website. We can send you a good packet of the history and the doctrines, but also how to give a Christian response to it.
Yeah, Jason, that would be the best way for you to have the resources to be able to address this with a person that you're close to who is involved in that. And if you'll jot down that web address, www.arcapologetics.org. That's www.arcapologetics.org. Email them from there. Mention that you talked with us on the program and explain that you're looking for the information on the Unity Church. They can send that right out to you.
All right. Well, thanks so much. You guys have a good night. God bless.
Great. I want you to hang on the line. We're going to pray. This is your friend you mentioned, or is this a relative?
Oh, it's just a friend of mine.
Okay, great. Steve Cowan, would you lead us in prayer on behalf of this friend and on behalf of Jason as he shares with his friend?
Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the caller taking the time to let us know about this situation, and we do lift up this to you and ask that you would intervene, that truth would prevail, and that the gospel would be heard and believed. And please give guidance and wisdom to Jason and as he interacts and seeks to lead this person to Christ. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Jason, thank you for your call. Great to hear from you.
We'll be back with more after this brief word from our sponsors. Some people refer to Dr. Walt Larimore as America's physician. In this segment of Encouragement for You, Dr. Larimore joins host Don Hawkins to answer listener questions about personal health.
Donna is listening in North Little Rock, Arkansas.
I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
I am a diabetic, and I want to go through gastric bypass, but if I could find another way out, I would. I am morbidly obese, and I am about 330 pounds. I'm only 5 foot tall. Please help.
I'm so glad you called us, Donna. First of all, recognize that there is hope. I have a good friend who was 400 pounds, and he is now down to about 240, and is in much better health than he ever was. And so just to know that there is help, that there are folks who have overcome this, let's talk to Dr. Walt Larimore about it. Walt?
Well, it's an awful important question, Donna, and I'm so glad that you called in. For folks in America who are more than 100 pounds overweight, and you're well over that, studies are fairly clear that for the vast majority of those folks, nothing is more effective long-term than the surgery. However, the surgery is not effective by itself, because you can defeat the surgery if you're not prepared for it, not only physically, but emotionally and spiritually ready for it. So most of the centers that are highly successful, there's much more than a surgeon. They have chaplains and pastors involved. They have psychologists and psychiatrists involved. They have exercise folks and registered dietitians involved. It's an entire team to help you prepare, not just for surgery, but for life after surgery. And Donna, what can that comprise of? Well, not for every surgical candidate, but for most surgical candidates with diabetes, especially if they have type 2 diabetes, not only can they reduce their medications, but a significant number of those folks end up off their medications. Hmm. Now, Don and Donna, there's the occasional person like Governor Mike Huckabee when he was governor of Arkansas, morbidly obese, who just decided to use diet and exercise.
Yeah.
And even though he's an extremely busy man, devoted the time and effort to getting his weight down to near normal, got off of all of his blood pressure medicines, yeah, got off all of his diabetic medications. But, Donna, if your doctors are recommending surgery, the good news is that the technique is now better than it has ever been. The results are better than they've ever been. And it can reverse diseases like hypertension and diabetes.
Yeah, great benefits there. Donna, we want to encourage you to consult with a physician, to talk those options over, to determine whether or not surgery is right for you. But make sure that you're getting the emotional and the spiritual support that you need as well. And we're going to pray for you to that end, okay?
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Father, tonight we lift up Donna to you. Lord, she senses the challenge of the health issues involved in her current weight and her health situation and the diabetes, and recognizing both the present and potential for future complications, we pray that you would guide her, Lord. If the surgery is the right option, if there's another way that you would have her to go in this, Lord, just give her the grace, give her the wisdom, give her the counsel, the wise counsel that will point her in the right direction. And Lord, help her to be able to shed those pounds and to be able to see an improvement in her health and even in the control of her diabetes. We just commit that to you and commit her to your care. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Good to hear from you, Donna.
Thank you so much.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Walt Larimore with us answering your questions. Sharon is in Montgomery, Alabama.
Good evening, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good. Nice to hear from you. How can we help?
My question is regarding the flu symptoms that I've been having. For 2 days, I've been on Zicam, and I'm getting ready to go to the doctor. But when talking to a friend, she brought up the fact that she had flu symptoms, but the doctor diagnosed it as a virus, and she kept these symptoms for about 3 weeks. So as it relates to the fact that I have been diagnosed with rhinitis, and there's upper respiratory symptoms and things of that nature, I'm trying to make sure I have the right diagnosis and the right medication for my doctor when I go.
Now, you have been to the doctor already. Who diagnosed you with rhinitis?
No, I've been diagnosed with rhinitis years ago.
Okay, all right.
And I'm getting ready to make an appointment for this episode.
All right, let's talk to Dr. Walt.
It's actually something, Don and Sharon, that can be determined not just with an examination and a lab test that doctors can do, but studies have shown that just reviewing 9 or 10 symptoms can help predict whether you have a cold or flu. So let me just ask you some questions, and we'll come up with some probabilities.
Great idea.
Do you have body aches?
Yes.
Are they mild or severe?
It's in between. When I was on the Zicam, they were mild, and then every now and then they'd be severe.
Do you have chest discomfort?
Repeat that?
Do you have chest discomfort?
No. I do feel like there's congestion, though.
Okay, no discomfort. Do you have chills, yes or no?
Yes, extremely, a lot of chills.
Is your coughing a dry cough or a hacking cough?
Dry.
Okay. Are you fatigued? Do you feel like you get up and go, got up and went?
Yes, it went and go, went and went like 2 weeks ago.
So is your fatigue mild or severe?
Depending on if I put something in my system, it could be severe. Like if I've been having sleep and juice,
yeah.
And I have a little bit of energy.
Five more quick questions. Do you have fever?
Yes.
How high?
Didn't take it, but I know it's up there. It probably only, it may have been like 102.
And headache?
Yes.
Sneezing?
Yes, a lot.
Sore throat?
In the beginning, yes. Not now. I've been taking lemonade.
And you said you have a stuffy nose?
Yes.
Okay. The predictive chart of those 10 questions, your answers, 6 of them would predict flu, 4 of them would predict the cold. And they say if more than half of them indicate the flu, then it is likely the flu. The good news is that if you haven't had the flu vaccine so that you're susceptible to flu, if you have flu symptoms, doctors still have medications they can prescribe for you. Now, Sharon, the flu medications work the best within the first 24 to 72 hours of symptoms. So you probably want to get a visit in the next day or two.
Let's do this. Let us pray for you right now, okay, Sharon? Father, you know what Sharon is going through. She's not feeling well. She has these symptoms. And, Lord, we just ask you to free her from the flu or from whatever it is that she has. I pray that you'd also give her wisdom as she talks with her doctor, help her to get the appointment that she needs and get the right medication that will be of help to her. And we just pray, Father, that very quickly she'll be restored to her health. Thank you, Lord, that you care about these areas of our lives, and we do commit our sister to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Encouragement for You with Dawn Hawkins, host of Encouragement Live Radio and author of over 25 books, including Never Give Up and Master Discipleship Today. You can find more about Dawn and his books at encouragementlive.org. Encouragement for You is a production of Encouragement Communications with the Salem Web Network and LifeAudio.com. Editing by Phil Giebers, production by Elizabeth Andrade. If you enjoyed what you heard today, we'd love for you to head over to your favorite podcast app and leave us a review. It really does help people find us.
Let me take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on Encouragement for You. If you go to LifeAudio.com, you'll find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
Stay encouraged and join us next time for Encouragement for You.
Have you ever felt conflict between your faith and feelings? If so, you're not alone. My name's Carly Mercouillier. I'm a licensed therapist and the host of the Therapy and Theology podcast, where we explore popular topics and questions related to faith, feelings, and spiritual formation. I want to invite you to join me every Thursday as we fearlessly name the complexities of our reality, grow in the awareness of who we are, and rediscover the power and purpose of our unique stories through the lens of the gospel. Subscribe today at lifeaudio.com.